Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast, and thanks for joining us for this episode. Before we begin, please take a moment to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you enjoy this content, please don't hesitate to leave us a five-star review and share this podcast with your friends. We'd like to extend an invitation to you and your family to join us for worship this week at Grace Baptist Church. We'd also love to connect with you online at graceketering.org. Thanks again for joining us, and enjoy the episode.
We finished up the book of Daniel as far as the narrative section. I do hope in the future to come back and take the last half of the book of Daniel, deal with some of the prophecy that is dealt with there, and that'll be a wonderful thing, especially the days in which we are living. Aren't they interesting? But Luke 17 will take some time just to spend and stir up our thankfulness. I don't know about you, sometimes I start looking at the wrong things and getting focused on the wrong things and losing my thankfulness. Anyone with me on that? Yeah. So we could all probably use a little stirring up today, and we probably need it more than just once a year. And I'm looking at around us and seeing our world. It's almost like Thanksgiving is getting rushed over by commercialism. Christmas is already up, and Christmas is a great celebration, but our world's forgotten who it's all about. Halloween has become such an integral part of our society. I'm stunned by the atmosphere of death that is taking over our country, the celebration of death, and it certainly goes in line with what we're seeing in our world. But we should be, especially right now, thankful people. You know, maybe the world makes it about football games, and that's fine to enjoy. Maybe they make it about those types of things. But right now, we really need to make sure that as we gather together on Thursday, we go through this week, that the world sees a thankful people. So let's allow the Lord to just stir us this morning. Luke 17 and verse number 11. You all there? Okay, there's three of you there. Are you all there? I love it. You brought your Bibles to church today, and that means that you want to hear from the Word of God, and may the Lord help me to deliver it. Luke 17, verse number 11, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, as he, Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said," say it with me, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. Let's read that next phrase together. "And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him," let's read, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Let's ask the Lord to bless our hearts with his word. Father, right now, we bow before you and we quiet our hearts before your word. There are many things that we could be doing today, but Lord, we are grateful that you've called us, even commanded us, not to forsake this assembly, because you knew that it was beneficial for us and for your purposes in this world for us to assemble multiple times in a week. So we thank you for allowing us to gather together, and we thank you for allowing us still to gather together in freedom. Lord, may the freedom with which we've gathered not rob us of the importance and the significance of this time. Lord, our country has a national holiday to give thanks. We're watching that the spirit of ingratitude rise in our country. But Lord, I pray in this church, in this assembly, that the spirit of gratitude would increase today in my heart and in each of my friends' hearts through this narrative that you've given to us. Lord, though this man some 2,000 years ago was healed, he leaves us such a wonderful example of giving thanks. And I pray that we would do the same. And so we submit this time to you. We pray that you bless the time with the children, that they would learn from your word. And I also ask if anyone anywhere in this building does not know you as their personal Savior today, that they would receive you by faith. They know what it is to have the hope of eternal life. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So our first president was George Washington, President George Washington. And he gave a proclamation along, and as did other presidents of the United States, but gave a proclamation. I think it's helpful for us to remember back in history that we started quite well in some of these areas where we had such a wonderful bedrock of Judeo-Christian values that helped us to come to a moment like this in our country's calendar, if you will, and to give thanks, set aside time to give thanks to the Lord. Listen to this proclamation. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly implore His protection and favor. Whereas both the Houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend the next to be devoted by the people of the states to the service of the great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country. What a great statement. Amen. Why, how far we have come as a nation. Turkey Day, right? Don't call it Turkey Day. We chuckle at that. But our world has so trivialized giving thanks to God, eradicating anything that reminds them of God. The pilgrims, when they came, those that came here, they gave thanks to God. Even in the midst of hardship, the first Thanksgiving, many would believe to be 1621, when a group of pilgrims shared a feast giving thanks to God. And with their company, the Indians, and there's a lot of changing of history, even about some of that. But the real Thanksgiving, or the first Thanksgiving, if you will, happened back in 1610 in Jamestown, when there was an extreme starvation, there was much death, there was lack of supplies, and those in Jamestown in the winter of 1610 had been reduced a group of 409 settlers to a group of 60 individuals. The survivors gathered together to pray for help, and without knowing how or when it would come, they prayed. When help arrived in the form of a ship filled with food and suppliers from England, a prayer meeting was held to give thanks to Almighty God, even though they had suffered such great loss. We think in our day that we can give thanks when everything is going well. Well, we should give thanks even when nothing is going well. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You. Long before there was a Thanksgiving Day, a federal holiday established, God was calling His people all the way in the Old Testament
till now. He established thanksgiving offerings, specific offerings that the people were to gather at the temple and to render back to God as a form of thanksgiving for his goodness and for his provision in their lives. You can go back through the book of Leviticus and read about those offerings that were acts of thanksgiving. He called his people to be a thankful people. In the New Testament, Jesus calls us to be thankful individuals for his great mercy that he's shed upon us. And in fact, the Bible even shows us that the lack of thanksgiving in a people is a sign of a wayward society, a sign of a society that is spiraling out of control, a sign of society that is turning its back on God. And don't we see that today? Romans chapter 1 tells us that one of the first steps of this society is to stop giving thanks to God for who he is. Now, how can you make a difference in this society? Be thankful. It doesn't take much to shine our lights right now. Amen. Be thankful. Be thankful for the little things. Expect nothing but be grateful for everything. Oh, how we need to grow in this regard. Jesus gives us this narrative through Luke, this doctor that wrote chronologically and was in tune to some of these physical things. He gives us this narrative of this leper that gives thanks to the Lord. And I believe this leper can teach us some lessons today to stop, to turn back, and to give thanks to the Lord. Now, typically, when we think about turning back, we think about regressing. But in this moment, turning back is a very good thing to do. To turn back and go to the Lord Jesus Christ, to find a place to pray, to find an altar, to find a moment to say, Lord, I thank you for this, this, and this. I thank you most of all for my salvation. Thank you for making me whole in my heart. And so I want us to notice through this story some things that really correlate well. This man was a leper, but how it correlates to our condition. Notice, first of all, his terminal condition. This leper's terminal condition. It was a deadly condition. Jesus would meet and interact with lepers multiple times in the New Testament. In fact, not at this time, it doesn't tell us that he touched them, but many times he would touch the lepers, even though that was something that was considered to be very dangerous and even against the ceremonial laws. But here, Jesus would interact with these lepers in this certain village. Notice this divine meeting that happens. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. How many of you agree with me? Jesus doesn't do anything on accident. Not one thing. There was a time in John chapter 4 when he says, I must needs go through Samaria. And here he goes through the midst of Samaria. The Bible's not mincing words or using words casually here. This is on purpose. Jesus is working his way to Jerusalem. Why? To die for the sins of you and me. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 9 that he's working his way there. And so as he's traveling out of Galilee, you can see there on the map, Galilee is up the northern part. These are regions, Galilee, Samaria, and Judea. These are regions, sort of like the Miami Valley or something like that. So these are regions. And Jesus is working his way down, and the Bible says that he cuts through the midst of Samaria. No Jew goes through the midst of Samaria. It was off their road. Have you ever been typing in your GPS and say, I want to avoid tolls? Well, in their GPSs back then, I want to avoid Samaria. That's to the Jews, they hated the Samaritans. You think that there's racism in our country today? There was racism that was going on right there. It was totally based on ethnicity. Right? You realize, just as a side note, anytime our hearts are not filled with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, we find something to hate. And that's what's going on in our world today. Jesus is the answer for racism. Okay. Come on now. And it has no place inside the church. None. So the reality is, Jesus shows us, even by his example, I'm going to go right through the midst of it. Now, you see that other line. The Jewish people would go out of their way. They would walk miles. They would ride their donkeys miles in order to go around Samaria. I don't want to go through that area. Now, there might be some areas you don't go through because you're afraid for your life. You understand? I'm not going to be in that area this time of day. I just heard yesterday that the chief of police in Memphis, Tennessee, said even the army can't stop all the crime that's going on there. They have a real problem on their hands. We're seeing this type of stuff go on in New York and different places, difficult places. And you might route around, but the routing around the Jewish people were doing was because they did not like the people. You know what they called the Samaritans? Dogs. Dogs. Can you imagine calling another human being a dog, meaning it? Man, how awful. But that was the day in which Jesus lived. And so when Luke writes that Jesus cut through the midst of Samaria, he was writing that on purpose to help us to realize the heart of the shepherd, the heart of the Savior is for all men. Not a certain ethnicity, not a certain group of people, not just the Jews who thought they were entitled to his mercy. No. It was for all men. So he cuts through the midst of Samaria, and he went to this avoided village, this village that no one else wanted to be in because it was a Samaritan village. They didn't want to be there, and he cuts through the midst of Samaria. But he also goes to avoided people. I want us to realize the lepers were people that no one wanted to be around. Now, there's some sicknesses today that you might know a person that has, and you say, I'm going to keep my distance. They need to isolate for a little bit. No one wanted to be around lepers. They wanted them isolated. They want them kept away. Why? Because they were afraid of catching it. Anyone who came in contact with a leper in that day was considered to be unclean. Ceremonially unclean, danger of catching that disease. Leprosy is mentioned some 68 times in the Bible, 55 in the Old Testament, 13 in the New Testament. Most of the times in the New Testament, it's mentioned in line with Jesus healing a leper. It's pretty amazing. So leprosy was a common disease. Today it might be Hansen's disease. They're not sure if it's exactly the same thing. But leprosy was a dreadful disease that spread very quickly. It was a slow death, but it did mean death in most cases, unless there was a healing. So leprosy began with spots on the eyelids, on the palms, gradually spreading over the body, bleaching the hair to be white. Wherever they appeared, crusting the affected parts with white scales, causing terrible sores and swellings. From the skin, the disease eats inward to the bone, rotting the whole body piecemeal. It is an awful, awful disease. So no one wanted them around. They weren't comfortable around them. Even from the looks of it, they weren't comfortable around them. And in Christ's day, no leper could live inside the walled city. They had to live outside of the city. And in fact, they were required to wear torn garments. In that day, a torn garment or rended garments were a sign of their sadness or just being overcome with grief. And so they were to wear that, but as well they were to cover their face, and they were also, if they got near people, they were to shout out, unclean, unclean. Can you imagine living with that? Can you imagine living out the final days of your life with that stigma that everyone saw, and yet you were also to make sure that they heard you saying, unclean, unclean. What a tragic way to live life. What a devastating way to live life. Leviticus 13 and verse number 9, when the plague of leprosy is in a man, he shall be brought unto the priest. They were required to go get checked out by the priest. He was the one that would give the verdict one way or the other. But what I find interesting in Leviticus 13, 44, he is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head. The leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, his head bare, and he shall put a covering on his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean, all the days wherein the plague shall be in him. He shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. Move out of your house. Leave your family. Dwell on your own. Loneliness is a horrible thing, but loneliness and illness is an even more dreadful thing. And that is the life of a leper. 2 Kings chapter number 7, there's a leper colony that was outside of the city. And they, you remember, the army of the Syrians left, and they left all the good food there, and they're enjoying it. And you remember how they said, hey, we shouldn't live here on our own and just enjoy this until we die. we need to go tell somebody. And they broke code, and they went and told somebody because it was good news for those inside the city that was besieged. And you remember, they said there, until we die. In reality, being a leper living outside of the camp was a living death. A living death. And it's very much like what sinners and how we're born into the world, how we're born is in our sin, which is a separation from God. It's very much like a leper, living death. Many people think, well, I'm doing okay. I have all that I need. My bank account's padded. I have my wants, my needs, etc. I have a pretty good life. And pay no attention to their relationship with the Lord, not realizing that they're separated from God, really living in a living death. The Bible says in John 3 and verse number 18 that without Christ, without belief in Jesus Christ, we're all condemned. We're all condemned. We're just a breath away from eternity. And so the reality is, just like these lepers, we too were in that same scenario. Leprosy has terrified humanity since ancient times. And it provides a very stark picture, a very vivid illustration of the dreadfulness of sin and the spread of sin and what it does to a life. So God said they had to be separate, just like we are separated from Him in our sin. If that's you today, if you've not been washed by the blood of the Lamb, if your sins have not all been forgiven, do you realize today, whether you feel it or not, whether other friends around you at work are telling you this or not, before you, before God, you are in living death. You're moments away from eternity. You don't know. We were traveling back from West Virginia earlier this week, and we passed by the spot where that semi came in and hit that tour bus. Do you remember hearing that on the news this week? 6 people dead. Just in an instant. We didn't see the spot, but we passed by where they said it was. And just in an instant, everything can change. Just a little bit, everything can change. The reality is, sinners, as sinners, we're born that way. The Bible says, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We're born that way. We're born into this living death that only can be corrected through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the lepers were just in that condition. Shouldn't we be grateful? Shouldn't we be grateful? Those of you that are believers today, shouldn't you be grateful that Jesus Christ has rescued you from that? That He came into your area, that He came into your certain village, into you, maybe that was put aside by the world, and your questions about God and eternity and on what happens after death was set aside. Shouldn't you be grateful that Jesus has come to you? The Bible says in 1 Timothy 1 and 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You remember what Paul said? Of whom I am chief. Your sin might not show on the outside like leprosy, but your sin is just as real, and so is it mine. And Jesus came to rectify that. Jesus came as the solution to that, and I praise His name, and we should give thanks to the Lord for such a wonderful, wonderful salvation. But notice their desperate request as they came, as Jesus came into the city. Notice that they cried out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. That was a pretty bold statement. These folks are supposed to be staying away from everyone, but they hear that Jesus is coming. Now, I'd like to know how they knew about Jesus, and who told them that Jesus had power to heal their leprosy. And I just have to wonder if there's a lady in that town and her ex-husbands in that town who came to Jesus and were so radically changed that they had spread the message in Samaria that Jesus will make a big difference in your life. And I wonder who it was, whether it was her or someone else, that told these lepers, that the news got to these lepers, that Jesus can make a difference in your life. Maybe the news of the other healings of the lepers had come to their ears. But regardless, when Jesus came into their village, this village that no one else wanted to be in, no Jew wanted to be in, when they heard that Jesus was coming, "Master, Jesus, have mercy on us." They lifted up their voices, undeterred by all that were around them. They acknowledged who Jesus was. He's a Savior. That's what Jesus means. He's the Master. He's superior and he's supreme. They acknowledged him. In fact, Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9 and 10 tells us that that is a part of coming to Jesus Christ, is acknowledging, confessing who he is. That he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. They did. They acknowledged who Jesus was and they begged for him to have compassion on them. I wonder if part of our lack of gratitude is that we don't understand the depth of mercy that the Lord offers to us. You look at death in the scene. How many of you, at some point in your life, have received a diagnosis that was terminal? Now, Brother Morris, here. It changes. It changes things. I know I've heard Brother Morris's testimony multiple times. It changes the way that you view the rest of life. This is God's, this life right now is a gift from God. Can you imagine as a leper knowing that you are going to die and it's going to be a painful death, and yet now you're looking at Jesus coming through your city and he has the answer to this? Have mercy. Show compassion. We are in the same exact boat. We are destined to hell. We needed as much mercy spiritually as those guys did need physically. We needed his mercy. No one else could do it. No one else, no other doctor could give them what Jesus could give them. And the lepers had been left alone by society in this hopeless despair. No help. Perhaps family members would come out and give them some food and run back to their homes, but there was no community other than with themselves. What a miserable company. We're all going down together. These guys were in such hopelessness, and they're crying out to Jesus, "Lord, have mercy on us." They had been cut off from spiritual fellowship with people in the community. They have been cut off from hope. In a real sense, even cut off from God in their minds, at least humanly speaking. They are away, they're on their own, they're going to die, and they're desperately crying out, "Lord, have mercy on us." The Bible says in Titus 3:5 that salvation is by God's mercy. Same mercy that they were requesting that day is the same mercy you need and I needed to be saved from my sins. I was 12. When I accepted that mercy. And I'm certainly grateful for that mercy. On the count of three, can you all just say the day of your salvation, the date you remember back, or maybe the month, the year, or whatever. Can we do that together? One, two, three. All right? You have a date when you accepted that mercy, when that mercy became real in your life? Here, these guys are asking for mercy. We needed that compassion. It isn't something we can work up. Even in this moment, it isn't something that these lepers could work for. Well, if I do this for Jesus, if I hang around Jesus, or if I do something special for him, then he'll give it to me. No, it's not something we work for. It's not something the lepers could work for. It was mercy. Lord, we need your mercy. We recognize who you are. We need your mercy. And what did Jesus do? There's a total cleansing. He answers their plea. He answers their prayer. There's a total cleansing in verse number 14. Look at it. And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." Go show yourselves unto the priests. But did you catch that? When he saw them. Now, I realize that God sees everything. He knows all. But there's something very special about that wording. He saw them. He noticed them. He beheld them. Do you remember the day that Jesus saw you? began to work in your heart by his Holy Spirit, connect your path with somebody. He saw you. He saw you. He says, go show yourselves to the priest. Why? They weren't medical doctors. No, they weren't, but they were responsible, according to the Mosaic law, with overseeing judgments about health issues like this, about leprosy, whether they could be in the company of the people or not. And so they were to go to the priest. In fact, these men are sent to the priest, as one author said, in order to be declared fit to return to normal society. And by going, they demonstrated their faith in Jesus' word. Go to the priest. Well, wait a minute. We still got leprosy. Hold on, Jesus. We still got leprosy. I see it. Why go to the priest? I'll just be turned away again. Do you realize the amount of faith that was required here for these men to follow through on this? I don't want to go to the doctor again. I don't want to go through this again. And just the wilting of the heart. Well, I thought you'd do something like be healed. I thought you'd do something like right on the spot. But we have to go to the priest, and we don't know for certain. I'd like to know this. We don't know for certain how far they had to travel in order to get to the priests. These guys are sick. They're ill. They're with disease. You know the wasting away of the body, and if you've been through a disease that begins to take you down physically, you know the wasting away and the loss of energy and not wanting to do anything. Think about it. These guys needed to take repeated steps, and it could have been as far as going to Jerusalem to have to go show themselves to the priests. I don't know. But the reality is they were sick, and Jesus is now saying, hey, you go show yourselves to the priest. It was going to take an act of faith on their part to follow through on that. Okay, we'll go. We'll go. The Bible says in Leviticus 14, chapter 14, verse number 2, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest. And Jesus here is encouraging them along the lines of the Samaritan law, the ceremonial law, but would have been just the expected thing of that day. Go show yourself to the priest. The occasion on which a person was cured of their skin disease or leprosy was of incredible significance. It marked his unexpected restoration to fellowship with his family, the community as a whole, and brought back into relationship with God's sanctuary. They could once again gather with the people of God to worship God together. So this was an incredibly important opportunity for these guys to be declared whole, but yet they're going and they still have the leprosy. The Bible tells us that they, as they went, they were cleansed. But they didn't know that. They had to step out in faith. They had to say, okay, we're going to take Jesus at his word. And just like our matter of salvation, just like these individuals needed to express faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for cleansing from their leprosy, so we had to express faith in Jesus Christ for the cleansing of our soul, for the salvation of our soul, for the forgiveness of all of our sin. Do you remember the day when you placed faith alone in Jesus Christ for your salvation? Do you remember when you understood it? The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You remember the day that you heard the gospel and God's word became real to you and you said, yes, I believe. And you stepped forward on that belief like these guys did. The Bible says in Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the mouth confession is made. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved. Say it with me if you know it. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm thankful that God has shown us the way to have eternal life, and it is by faith. And God was showing, Jesus was showing these guys, if you want to be healed, it's going to take a step of faith. Your faith is required. I saw a picture just the other day of a restaurant and some things posted up on the wall, and it says, if you're hungry and have no money, these meals have been paid for in advance. Give a server the ticket, and they will have the kitchen prepare your meal. These meals are paid for in advance. And that is a wonderful picture of salvation. Jesus already died on the cross for every one of your sins, every one of your neighbor's sins, your family members you're going to be gathering with this week, your friends, every one of their sins. The act of faith is to take the ticket, to say, I believe this is for me, to walk up to that counter and to claim what Jesus has already provided for you. Faith is required. And faith was required for these individuals, and if you will be saved today, faith will be required. You say, well, I just don't understand it all. I can't wrap my mind around it. How could God love me so much? I don't know how to explain that to you. Because I don't know how God could love me so much. I still have to grapple with that, and I guess I hope I'll understand a little bit more in eternity. But the reality is, it is radical love that the Creator would come and die for the created who had sinned and offended him. That's amazing love. And yet he is offered to every man. No man will go to hell because God sent them there. Every person will go to hell because those that go to hell, they are there because they rejected the love and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take the ticket. Can you imagine if these guys said, no, I'm not walking that distance. I'm not going to the priest again. I've been there before. It didn't do me any good. Everything I've heard about Jesus and the healing that he provides might have worked for other people, might be good for other people, might be their truth, but it isn't going to work for me. Imagine if one of those guys had walked away that way. No, the Bible says they followed through. The Bible says that they started to go to the priest. Verse number 14, and it came to pass that as they went, as they went. And not only was there a requirement of faith, but there was a reward of faith. It says there in verse number 14, they were cleansed. Let's say that together. They were cleansed. They went. They didn't tell Jesus, we want you to heal us our way. There's a lot of people that say, I want God to accept me just the way I am. I'm a pretty good person. I go to church. I'm kind to the neighbor. I go to work and I put in a good day's wages. I'm a pretty good person. God will have to accept me just the way I am. Reality is, you'll never get to heaven that way. Never. Because that is not the way to heaven. That is not God's plan. That's not what God's word has said. And just like to these lepers, Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priest. They could have argued all day long with him, and they would have never, never found the healing unless they started to go and act in faith. You want to know if Jesus is real? Just believe his word. Step out in faith. Say, Lord, I have no other place to turn. I know the depravity of my own heart. I know the inconsistency of my own life. I know my own anger. I can't get a grip on it. I know my own sinfulness. I know, and I'm really being honest with myself, I know that compared to you, I'm really a sinner. And compared to many of my friends, I am a sinner. I see that. Lord, I place faith in you, just like these lepers did, and they had a wonderful reward. I find that many people never experience the reward of faith because they're not willing to obey the requirement of faith. They're not willing to say, I do believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I receive the gift of salvation. They believe in themselves. They believe in other men's words. They believe in science. They believe in many other things, but they do not believe in Jesus and what he said in his word. How important it is to place our faith in him. So as they went, they were cleansed. They were cleansed. They weren't just washed up a little bit. They were cleansed. They were healed entirely. They had become free of this disease. It was immediate in that moment. As they went, they looked at themselves and they were cleansed. They realized their spots were gone. Their leprosy was gone. They were rejuvenated. They were given health in that moment. Jesus cleansed them as they acted in faith. But without faith, as we learned on Wednesday night, it's impossible to please God. And these individuals said, we believe we're going to the priest, even if it takes a lot of energy to get there. We're going to take this step of faith. And they believed, they went, and God rewarded their faith. It reminds me of what Jesus said. Those that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. You take a step towards Christ and believe what he said in his word. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He says, I will do it. not just for salvation, it's for many other areas of our life. That is to be a repeated refrain throughout our lives, to take him at his word, and he constantly comes back and rewards us according to our faith in him. So this terminal condition, a total cleansing, they were healed. Total cleansing, by faith we're saved. Aren't you grateful for that? Well, work on your salvation. It's a 5-year plan. No, he saves us to the uttermost. I was watching something about the Mormon religion, talking about praying for the dead, trying to get them out of hell, offering that opportunity. There's such a hopelessness in the religions of the world. Jesus offers salvation full and clear at the moment that you respond to his word in faith, I believe. You remember the thief on the cross? Remember me. Remember me when you enter into thy glory. This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Wait a minute. He's a criminal. Shouldn't he have to atone or make up for the wrongs that he had done? This day. Amen. This day. Aren't you thankful when you came to Jesus, he didn't give you a list of things like, all right, in 5 years from now, if you're a really good person, then I'll give you salvation. No. This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Amen. He changes us and he begins to renew us from the inside out. And what a wonderful thing that is. And so here we have this man that is cleansed of his leprosy. All 10 men are cleansed of their leprosy. And what I see here in this last man, this one of the ten, I see a very thankful convert. I believe that this man did not just get healed in his body, but got healed in his soul as well. A thankful convert. Notice the passion that he has in his thanksgiving. In verse number 15, and one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice, glorified God. Right now I'm envisioning a man in the stands after his football team has just made a touchdown. You know, they've just scored. I'm envisioning that type of enthusiasm right now with this man. This man is saying, hey, I want to glorify you. You're great. You're amazing. And he's shouting out, undeterred by those that are around them in that society. It was a very open society in the sense that there were people. It was close-knit. They weren't spread out in their houses on multiple acre pieces of property. It was a close-knit society. And just understand, as he's crying out to Jesus with a loud voice in front of Samaritans and others in that town, it was something that he wanted other people to hear, and he said it without regret. He said it without being deterred. I'm going to praise Jesus for what he has done. Well, wouldn't you praise Jesus if he has just cleansed you of your leprosy? If he's just given you a new lease on life? He's just cleansed you, given you rejuvenation, health again. He turned back. He stopped. I don't know how far down the road they were. Were they a mile? Were they three? If it was going down to Jerusalem, it was somewhat of a distance to travel. I don't know how far they had gone down the road, but this man decided, I'm going to stop, and I'm going to go back, and I'm going to give thanks to Jesus, and I'm not just going to give thanks and write him a note. I'm going to give thanks with a loud voice. I'm going to praise him publicly. I'm going to praise him passionately. Sometimes, as we gather together, I wonder how grateful we actually are. I'm saying this for all of us, myself included. How grateful we actually are when we such a muffled thanksgiving or praise back to God. You know what I'm talking about? We get so worried about who hears us. Sometimes when you have kids and they find their voice and they have a song in their heart, sometimes they sing and they don't care who hears them, but they sing. We need to find our kid voices again in praise back to God. Who cares if your voice is a little bit more noisy than somebody else's? How many say, I have a noisy voice? All right, there's... Oh, I see two hands up. But friends, it's a little bit crazy that we can gather in the assembly of the saints, and we are here to gather and give praise to the Lord, and we get so worried about what other people think. I don't see this in this man. With a loud voice, what if the people think I'm crazy? Who cares? A loud voice. Give it back to the Lord, to sing praises to his name, to glorify, to magnify him. And notice that this healing brought magnification to God. You know, much of the faith healing that is proposed today, do you realize who it brings glory to and riches to? You listen to some of these faith healers today, and you hear them talk about their Lear jets and their 40,000 square foot houses. It brings glory to them. Something's wrong with that picture. This brought glory to God. And when Jesus is changing our hearts, who does it bring glory to? Not some preacher. It brings glory to God. It's not you that's changing your life. It's God that's changing your life. The sweetest thing in all the world, I kid you not, the sweetest thing in all the world is to watch God's word and God change a life. And you say, I really have nothing to do with that. I had no power. I had no ability to maneuver, manipulate that. That is all God. Praise his name. And here this man falls down before Jesus with a loud voice. He's praising the name of Jesus, exalting God with all of his heart. He fell down on his face. Have you ever fallen down just in grief? Have you ever fallen down in thanks? That's not really common for us. That's not something that we're used to. If someone fell down in thanks and was overwhelmed by their salvation, even in this auditorium, I dare say that we might even wonder a little bit. So what's going on with them? We shouldn't. But here this man just falls down before Jesus. I am so grateful for what you've done. I cannot believe that you would do this for me. Do you see his passion? It has wrapped his body. The posture of his physical body is showing us the posture of his heart. Just totally amazed that Jesus would do this for him. That would give him back his life again in this way, his physical life. He gave thanks. He expressed gratitude to Jesus. Even as the Bible says, and he was a Samaritan. That's not in there by accident. It's probably a part of why he was so grateful, because he thought Jesus would never care about me. That's not true about anyone. The devil would like to tell you that Jesus doesn't care about you. Maybe because of what you've done in your past. Maybe because your skin color. Maybe because your social economic background. Maybe because your family. It doesn't matter. Jesus cares about them all. We get this locked up in our heads. Jesus cares equally about us all. He came into the world to save sinners. And we could say with the Apostle Paul, we're chief there. Amen. We're chief. And so this Samaritan, this half Jew, half Gentile, though hated by the Jews, was not hated by Jesus. And he's fallen down before him. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for giving me this new lease on life. Thank you for giving my health back. And I have to see here, I believe this man was grateful, and one of the reasons was he did not feel entitled to the mercy of Jesus. The Jewish people felt entitled to favors from God. We were God's people. Sometimes as Americans, we can feel entitled to the blessings of God. And so when the blessings of God come, we're not thankful like brothers or sisters in Africa. We just go on, well, isn't that what we deserve? Doesn't everyone, and let's get temporal here for a second, doesn't everyone have air conditioning? Doesn't everyone have a car? Doesn't everyone have a church they can drive to and fellowship with? Doesn't everyone have this? No. There's many people around the world that do not feel entitled to the blessings of God that we take for granted every single day. Here, this man, he didn't feel entitled to to the mercy? Well, maybe he'd show mercy on the Jewish people because he's a Jew, but on me? I'm a Samaritan. He didn't feel entitled to it. Boy, how it inspired such gratefulness in his heart. He knew that his condition was terminal. I'm going to die without Jesus showing up. He remembered that he is shunned by society. He's living on the outside, and Jesus has healed me. Oh, how could I not give him thanks? You remember the woman in Luke 7:47 that came and broke the alabaster box of ointment over Jesus? They all said, well, this could have been sold and used for money for the poor. Jesus says, no, don't look at it that way. This woman has been forgiven much, and so she loves much. Maybe one of the reasons we don't thank our Savior as much as we ought is because we've forgotten how much we've been forgiven. Just as bad as leprosy was your sin and mine. And we've been forgiven of it all. We didn't have to pay it off. We didn't have to do installment plan. It is paid in full. Praise his holy name. It was his passion, but it was his priority. There was no one else coming with him. Hey, guys, let's go back. Let's go back and thank Jesus personally. I don't know. One author did this. He wrote down some maybe 9 reasons why these guys didn't go back. One waited to see if the cure was real. One waited to see if it would last. One said, I'll see Jesus later. One decided that he never had leprosy in the first place. Maybe it was just in my mind. One said that he would have gotten well anyway. One gave the glory to the priest. It was the priest that did it, not Jesus. One said, oh, well, Jesus really didn't do anything. One said, any rabbi could have done it. Another said, I was already pretty much improved. Now, you can think about some of the excuses that might have gone through those 9. We don't need to go back and give thanks to Jesus. But this man, he made a priority to go back. Though miles were required, he made a priority to go back and say, I am thankful for the mercy you showed on me. Your mercy was not ordinary, it was extraordinary, and I give you thanks for that demonstration towards me, for your healing of me. Why do we not give thanks to Jesus daily? Are you with me? Why do we not, on a daily basis, give great thanks to Jesus for the salvation from our sin? You know, when people give thanks in their prayers, sometimes another believer might look, well, they always say the same thing. They always say, thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. Do you realize that we ought to give thanks often, regularly, for Jesus dying on the cross for our sins and giving us salvation? And their prayer ought to inspire us. I ought to do the same. I ought to be able to be thankful in my workplace. If I'm praying before lunch with a coworker and they allow me to say a public blessing in that moment, I ought to give thanks to God for saving my soul. Yes. You know what a light that is? Our children need to hear us on giving thanks for saving our souls. Yes. And we need to give thanks back, just like this man, with priority. Maybe one of the reasons we don't give thanks as often or fervently, passionately as we ought, is we've forgotten the significance of salvation. Maybe we've forgotten that we've been saved from hell. We hear it used as a curse word, but it is a literal place of fire. Read Luke chapter number 16. And you, if you place your faith in Jesus Christ, have been rescued from an eternity apart from God in a place called hell. That is something to be thankful about. That is something to give great praise for. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall any man give in exchange for a soul? Some American Christians, us, we get so preoccupied with the things that we can gain with our temporal resources. And if I had this, or if I had that house, or if I had that piece of property, or that car, or that relationship, then I could be thankful. No, if Jesus has saved your soul, you have reason to be thankful. You have all the reason to be thankful. If God gave us nothing more from now till we die, salvation is enough for an eternity full of thanks. May the Lord help us. We have gotten so convoluted. Listen, we are blessed in America. But some of our blessings have rotted our spirituality. It's rotted our gratitude. We're spoiled, sometimes petulant children, before a God that has given us everything that we have. We need to return to thankfulness. And I look at our country, and the very reality that we could sit down on a day, watch football without threat, and go on as if God did nothing for us, must be a slap in the face of a holy God. May we not join in that culture. I'm not saying don't watch football. I am saying, let's give thanks to the Lord. And let's make sure not just the Lord hears it, but with a loud voice, others hear it. 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 1, Paul told Timothy, in the last day, perilous times are going to come. Unraveling times are going to come. He says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to children, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Unthankful. He said, this is going to be an indication of the last days. And friends, we're in the last days. But don't let the spirit of the age creep into your heart. And I feel that the Lord is working in my life about this as I grow older. And frankly, I've been ashamed of my own ingratitude to the Lord. May the Lord help me. May the Lord help us. We have much to be thankful for. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You. So this man turned back to give thanks to the Lord. And I think it's a great day for us to turn back, pause, turn back, and go say thank you to Jesus. That's going to be the invitation today. Let me give you an illustration. May 5th of 2019, we were having a service, and that was the month in which I was looking back through pictures. We were able to pay off the mortgage on this building by the grace of God and through the provision of God through his people. What an amazing day. We got to burn the mortgage. That was a great time. But kind of something maybe not everyone remembers is in walks a couple into the church that Sunday morning. It was May 5th. And this is them. This man here, James is his name. I still correspond with him. But he used to live right here in this plat. And he came. And he came to a service, and he was struggling with alcohol. He wouldn't mind me saying that publicly. God has restored his soul. And really, beyond even being able to deal with him in that service, so went and visited him at his house and really needed to get him into a place where he could get help. And so he went to the Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago, Illinois, to live there and to be a part of their addictions recovery program. And James got saved and was wonderfully delivered from alcoholism, from being a drunk. I had lost touch with him. I still had his phone number in my phone, but I had lost touch with him. And he had just fit in well up there. And on that Sunday morning, he comes back in, and we made reconnection and remembered back to what God had done over the past several years. But the reason he came back, he doesn't live in the area anymore. The reason he came back was just to say thank you. You know what? There's a lighthouse in this neighborhood that man could walk into, even in a drunken condition, and find the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, get connected with help, get his life changed. And you know, he's serving the Lord today. He's serving the Lord today, helping others get out of their addictions. And he turned back and took time to walk into this building to just say thank you. I've asked him and reached out and asked him to pray about others who are in his same condition. And from time to time, we'll connect. I'm grateful for that illustration of turning back. But we all need to do that with Jesus. Because ultimately, James is thankful for the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ here. Don't you agree with that? Now, we've all been rescued. If you know Jesus Christ today, you've been rescued. And today's a good day to turn back and say, thank you. Thank you. You say there's some decision, big decision I need to make? No, not other than just simply turning back and saying thank you to the Lord for saving my soul. Thank you for that salvation that's full and clear. Thank you. Thank you. And if that's not your testimony
yet. Let's get it taken care of today. Let's accept Jesus Christ so you also can say thank you. Would you stand with me this morning? Simple invitation. I want you all to find a place around this altar. Make it a point this Thanksgiving weekend to just say thank you to the Lord. And so, Lord, we ask you to help us to grow in our gratitude, just like this leper, regardless of who else is doing it, but that we would genuinely from our hearts give praise to your holy name for saving our souls. We love you, and we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. With your heads bowed or an attitude of prayer, let's all just find a place to pray this morning and to say thank you. Turn back right now and say thank you to Jesus for saving your soul, for giving you his righteousness, for reconciling you to God, for making you a child of the King, for giving you an incorruptible inheritance, for preparing a place for you, for giving you the Holy Spirit of God, for shaping you into his likeness, for providing you with the very Word of God, for giving you a place in his body, the church, for giving you gifts with which to serve him. Turn back and say thank you today. Say, Pastor, I don't know for certain that Jesus Christ has saved me from my sin. I'm still like that leper before he was healed, before he took that step. Today I do need to take that step. I need to place faith in Jesus Christ. I'll not point you out, but I'd certainly love to know that God is doing that work in your heart right now, that he's touching your heart. You say, Pastor, I do not know for certain that I am saved from my sin, that I've been healed from my sin, and that I have eternal life. Anyone like that today? Amen. If you'd like to come, I'll connect you, man with a man, woman with woman. We'll show you how you can know for sure from the Scripture how you can be saved. Family, let's continue just to pray. Give thanks to the Lord.
we're going to enjoy some great food that you're preparing, right? It's going to be a great time. I'm really looking forward to this. But it's not just a dinner. It really is an opportunity for us to share in fellowship in the goodness of the Lord. And so I want you to prepare something, and we'll call them popcorn praises, right? We state our praise, but we're giving it back to the Lord. And so right now, I would love for you this afternoon, and I know you're going to go get some things ready, but I'd love for you to just take a few moments to write something down that you're ready, that you're coming intentionally to give praise to the Lord. Maybe it's a verse of scripture, maybe some specific things, tangible, intangible. But let's give praise to the Lord, and like that leper, take time to go back. That's what tonight's all about. And so it'll be a wonderful time together. Let's pray together and just thank the Lord together. Father, thank you. Thank you for having such mercy on us. I've never seen a leper before. Lord, from everything I've read, it's awful. And you weren't deterred by that. Lord, I am a sinner, and I know my own sin and how awful it is to you. I can't know the depth of how much it grieves you. But Lord, there's really no difference. And so thank you for loving me so much and my friends so much that you came to us in our condition, in a condition the world couldn't help. It had no answers for me. Thank you for coming to us in that condition and offering us salvation by faith. Lord, we just give you praise. We want to stop today and just in this simple way say thank you once again. I pray that our gathering today, this afternoon, would be full of thanksgiving. From the children to the oldest adult, would be full of thanksgiving. May we not be ashamed to give you glory in front of others. Stir us in this way, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God's people said, I wanted just to take a moment and introduce you to a new sister in Christ, and this is Susan, and she was with us last week, and she accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, right, last week?
Yes, I did.
Amen. Making a difference in your life, huh? Amen. And you brought a friend this week, and
yes, I did.
He's responding to the gospel as well, and
yes.
So we're very grateful for that.
Yes.
So praise God. Welcome. Welcome to the family. The Bible says that when one sinner, that's all of us, when one sinner responds and accepts Jesus Christ, all of heaven rejoices.
Yeah.
And so we rejoice with heaven today. So praise the Lord for that. We just wanted to introduce you to her and make sure that you feel, make them feel real welcome here and thank the Lord for what he's doing in our church family.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we'll make sure that you feel welcome and a part. You're always welcome here.
Thank you.
We're very grateful. Well, tonight is 4 o'clock. So between now and then, there's a tax meeting. That's a tax outreach meeting. So if you're interested in that, meet with Brother Shane. And then there is also the choir practice right after here. And so let's go attend to that business. God bless you. See you at 4 o'clock. Welcome to tonight.